So at this point, we've taken Unity all the way down to its basic empty form. We got rid of the skybox. We have we really have our ambient light being pretty dark. We don't have any directional light. So now let's start bringing in our own light choices. Come over here to Game Object. Lighting is the tab. Directional light, we saw what it was. This directional light is kind of like a sun. It casts shadows equally everywhere. It's like a very, very, very far away, very, very bright light. All shadows will always be parallel to each other. What we're going to want for our effect is a point light. When I create this point light, this is much more like a light bulb. It shoots out light in all directions to a certain range. Now, if I come over here and I move this point light, so let me go to my inspector. Here's my point light. I'm going to reset it so it goes 0, 0, 0. Now this point light is in the middle of my 10 by 10 by 10 cube. In fact, the range of my light is 10 here. So let me move my light up to the middle of the room, which I know would be 5, because our room's 10 high. So now let's see what's going on. We've created this room. We have a soft point light working. If I'm going to increase the range up to, say, 20, and now things are starting to get pretty good. I'm going to save this because we've done some work so far. I'm going to save this as my main scene. It gets saved under the assets folder in my Hello Unity project. And here it's created my scene asset. If you're making a game, you often have a lot of scenes. Creative coding, we often start, especially in the early lessons, with just one sketch file. So we're creating one scene, and then we'll be adding our code classes to this scene. So here's my main scene, which I need whenever you save. You need at least to save it to one scene. Here's our point light. It has a range of 20. It's lighting up softly this box that we've created. Let's see, where's my camera? Here's my camera so far. If I run this, I can see I'm looking straight ahead at this gray box, but I also see this blue color back here. Now, because we're going to be moving the camera into the box, it doesn't matter, but if you want to know how to change it, when you select the camera, right here it says your background color. Normally, if you have a skybox, it's just going to paint that skybox, because that's what a skybox does. It creates a background for you. But since we got rid of the skybox, it's just going to use whatever background color we want. I'm going to change this down to like a darker gray, just so I can tell the difference. So when I run this again, I now see my camera is looking inside of this box we created, and here's the background of my universe, of my volumetric universe I'm creating. Good. Now let's position the camera in a way. So I'm going to position my scene and do that little trick we showed where I'm going to move the camera to this view. So I want my camera to be around here. This looks good. So I select my camera, game object, align with view. Now I run this just to make sure. Good. Now my camera has moved to my scene view, which is exactly what I wanted. Stop this again. Good. At this point, we are now in full control of our universe. Our entire universe has nothing in it, not even a skybox or a directional light, except for this box that we've made out of a couple cubes. We also have a point light in it that's giving us the ability to define some shadows. I'm going to go back and talk a little bit about ambient lighting now and color. Back on this lighting tab, we initially talked about this ambient color. This is basically when there's no light, what color do you want? So if I colored it up to blue, I'm not changing the color of my walls or the color of my light, but I'm basically saying my ambient light, the light that's always around, what color is it? So this is a way you could really start getting some weird effects by playing with ambient light. Now we had a gray color, but it's something that's really interesting when you watch science fiction films or when you watch television or video games. Most people don't use white light. Never, ever, ever just use white light. It's kind of a beginner play. Most people, when you're doing color grading in film, you get that kind of science fictional or cinematic effect when you're using complementary colors, right? So a lot of times in movies, the ambient light is actually shifted a little bit more to a green. Let's go to our point light, and instead of white, let's shift this a little bit more to our yellow. So if our point light's a little bit more yellow and our ambient light is a little bit more green, and on our point light, let's start increasing the intensity a little bit. We can see right away we're starting to get a slightly more cinematic feel. Even this by itself, playing this. Now, again, it's just a room, but this is how powerful the use of color is on your point lights as well as your ambient lights to set a mood with just a couple tweaks, turning a white light into a slightly different colored light and shifting your ambient shadows into its complementary colors. We can start getting a better feel right away on our very, very first lesson. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to turn down the intensity a little bit. Maybe around something right here. Now let's start talking a little bit about color. Before we do, let's add a central character. So I'm going to come over here to do game object, 3D again, and I'm going to add another cube. Now that we have this cube on our screen, we can start playing a little bit more with the light. So I'm going to get this cube. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to come to the inspector. I see I'm going to reset it so it comes down to the bottom here. I'm going to bring it up to the middle of the room, which is 5050. I'm going to increase its scale to 3x3x3. And then I'm going to rotate it, say 10, 20, 30. A couple things happen. This cube is just as white as the rest of the walls are, but it's awfully dark. That's because our point light is kind of also right in the middle of the cube. So let me lift the point light a little bit above the cube, and I'm going to bring the point light negative or toward me. There we go. Now things are getting a little bit better. So I think right around here, we'll have the point light be at -5, and its Y can be, say, 8, maybe 7. 7's good. Now we can see this point light. I said yellow earlier. Actually, green and orange are complements, not green and yellow. So let me shift this a little bit more to orange. There we go. We're kind of getting that metropolitan color styling you see for urban environments, right? Everything's the highlights push a little bit more to the flesh, and the shadows are a little bit more into the green areas. So this is looking pretty good. We've created a cube. It's in the middle. It looks really nice. It has its shadows here. In fact, if I select cube, let me see what a cube gives us. It gives us its transform. It gives us its mesh. In another project, we'll be talking about manipulating those meshes dynamically. It gives us a box collider. We won't be using this today, but that's basically when you know when it's hitting another box. Here's the important one. It's a mesh renderer. We have this cast shadow on. So it should be casting shadows and receiving shadows. I don't see any right now. So at this point, this is pretty good. But you know, it can be made a little bit better. We see all these shadows. This cube is going to be moving around. But Unity 5 has introduced some very, very cool ambient occlusion techniques so that when you define lights like this point light, when you tell Unity, this thing, you can calculate the light before we run the project. Because again, light is very complicated to calculate. I have a point light and it has to be bouncing off all these surfaces and calculating where is it hitting into the camera. And as these objects are moving, it has to use certain algorithms that it can do very, very quickly. So it's not really high-end quality like you would in, say, a 3D program where you set everything up and you render and it takes a long time to render that one slide. In Unity, it has to be able to render very, very quickly, 30, 60 frames a second. So it generally does a lot of tricks when you want to have nice shadows in it. But with Unity 5, there's a magic button that you can click that basically says all of this power you have for shadows, if I click this magic button, pre-calculate all my shadows so that my shadows look really nice. Because right here we've been doing this. Now you can't do this to anything that's going to move. And this cube, we're going to code it so that it's spinning around and it has children that's rotating around it. We'll be learning all that code stuff. But the walls, the ceiling, the floor, the wall back, the wall right, the wall left, all of these cubes are stationary. We're not doing anything with them. So let's click that magic button. And here's where the magic button is. They should just call it magic button. It's called static. If I click this, notice what happens on the bottom of the screen. Down here, it says it's running these visibility passes. And look what happens as soon as it's done with the calculations. It has completely changed the mood and the quality of the shadows inside of my room because it is now pre-calculating the shadows inside of this environment. I can now grab this point light and bring down its intensity some to say 1.0. I'm going to move its shadows a little bit more up here. We're going to be adding some color, so I'm going to be adding some emissive color in our scene, so I'm going to be resetting our point light a little bit closer to white. Good. At this point, these shadows look great. We have selected our walls, clicked the static, and that has allowed Unity to pre-calculate the shadows. Now when I run this, I can see that my walls look really, really nice. In fact, the shadows on my walls look a little bit nicer on the cube. We're going to show how to fix that later. But for right now, anything that you drop into the scene, click it as static, and those shadows will be baked right into it, and it looks really, really nice. Now let's talk about colors, because we haven't changed any color. Every cube we've been creating has been coming with its default white material that we see here. If I wanted to add a color to this, here's how you do. I'm going to right-click in Assets. I could have come over here and created it from the drop-down menu, but I like right-clicking inside of my Assets. I'm going to go to Create and Material. I'm going to call this, let's call it Blue Emit for right now. Every object, like this cube, comes with a default material. We're creating a brand new material, which has all the default properties. It's opaque. This albedo actually means color. You can think of that as color. It's called albedo. If I wanted to drop a texture here, it would be the color of the texture. Right now, we're just going to stick with regular color. We'll be looking at textures in another lesson. But just using cubes and just using colors, let's see how powerful we can make things. I'm going to click this albedo, and I'm going to pick a light blue color up here. It's called opaque, and that's fine. My shader, I'm going to say standard specular setup. That'll just make the lighting look a little bit better. So now to assign this material to anything I want, I can just drag the material, and whatever object I pop it on, whatever I let go, will grab that material. It on the cube or wherever we want. I'm going to drag it onto my wall right and let go. Now, because my wall right is static, we can see in the lighting it's actually fused some of this light color a little bit. It seems to be picking up on the walls. I'm going to create another material. I'm going to call this red emit. And I'm going to give this one a nice reddish magenta look. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab it on this side of the wall, creating a classic Cornell box, if you will, at least visually. So this is pretty good. I'm going to save. I'm going to run. There isn't much difference right now between run and scene mode, but just to make sure that our cameras and everything are doing well. Now there's a special type of material that I want to go ahead and introduce because I think it's really, really cool. A lot of times people save this for later lessons, but I think you should learn it as soon as you learn how to do materials. These properties that we said, the albedo, the specular is kind of like when it's shining that light, what color is that? If you wanted to add a texture, you would pick a texture straight from here. Now we don't have any images, we haven't brought in any scenes, but if we did, they'd pop up here and we could say something like that. Okay, this texture, and we can see it's there. But here it is. We call these emit, because we want them to actually emit color into the room. Right now, they're just flat. This is what most materials are in most software programs. But Unity has added this really, really cool feature here called emission to your materials. And if I select this and I give it a color, Look what's happening. It's actually emitting color into the room, and I can control its intensity here. But that's pretty neat. I've now created a flat wall and turned it into an entire wall of color. I'm going to do the same thing over here on my red material. Again, you select the material. Here's where we set the color for it. But this guy, emissive, you don't even have to click anything. Just change its color to the color that you want that light shooting into the room. And you can adjust its intensity up or down. Keep it at around 1. Now this is pretty neat. So we now have this blue wall shining color into the room. We notice that the cube isn't reacting to that yet, and that's okay. We'll solve that subsequently. And we have this magenta wall shooting color into the room. And because we've set these walls as static, we see that real time, or it's being pre-calculated, all of these color walls that shift from the blue side to the magenta side. That's getting pretty neat. I'm going to save this.